Welcome, everyone. It's our honor here at Yale and our pleasure, along with the Orthodox Union, to welcome you to our beautiful yeshiva. And we hope to see you again soon. It is also my honor and privilege to introduce this evening Gila Zellinger. I won't spend too much time speaking because you're here to hear her. Gila Zellinger is a clinical social worker in the Family Care Medical Center in Muncie, New York. And her experience really stretches the gamut from working with small children to adults to families. And as Mr. Brokowitz would tell you, she's one of the most popular Orthodox Union speakers, so we are really privileged to have her here today. Mrs. Zellinger will give you a lot of practical tips. Please take advantage of this opportunity to ask her questions, to listen to every word she has to say. She was wonderful at the first session, and we're looking forward to hearing her again. Thank you very much.
Hi, good evening, everybody. So now we've moved up in ages, right? We're working on preteen, tween. Okay. I'm just going to pass around outline. Okay. We're here to discuss body image, helping your son, daughter focus on their insides, not their outsides. Yeah. Like they say on the airplane, if everybody's not here for that, then you're in the wrong place. Okay. Body image. A body image is a perception of one's body. And what I was told that we're going to really be talking about today is not so much what we usually associate with our body image, which is eating disorders and identifying and recognizing eating disorders with girls and boys, but more so being happy with what we are, with the influences of today, cultural, societal influences, and helping our children being happy with who they are and not falling into that category, and at the same time recognizing possible risk factors in terms of eating disorders or the possibility of falling for eating disorders. Correct? We're all here? Okay. The first thing that I want to talk about is what's going on today in our world, in our culture, in society, in terms of the influences of how we see ourselves. And oftentimes people talk more about the girls than the boys, but the truth is it's really the same both ways. Girls are falling more for the looking thin and dressing up as the models, as the heroes of today are looking and how they're supposed to express themselves and how they dress themselves. Boys maybe it's a little bit more trying to merge the masculine values as well as the cultural trends to look good and look trim and be in style as well. So both the girls and the boys are getting a lot of messages from our culture, our society, not just the greater world, but even our religious society and what the expectations are for girls and for boys out there today growing up. And these things really influence us tremendously. So we want to start off first with self-esteem, how this affects our kids in terms of their own self, their self-perception, and how they can function, and also their own evaluation of themselves, how they can put together what the outside, what the world says about what should be, and how they believe in themselves, and what their family messages are, and what you say to them. And what we can do as parents to influence a healthier attitude and a healthier understanding about how our children can go forward and not be so negatively influenced by people in the world. If we move down in my outline, one of the most important things is to promote the uniqueness of your child. Every child has a unique something about them. If you look at each of your kids, especially the tweenagers, which I call the early teenagers, because we can start looking at teenagers already from age 9, most people even start identifying issues and these problems at age 9, not at age 12, 13 as it used to be, because they're just much more sophisticated today and much more into themselves. And also they're looking at their parents. I mean, there's very few homes that are not health conscious, that parents are not on certain diets. If you interview 9-year-old children, you'd be surprised they can name you 5 fad diets that they know that their parents have been on. They're very familiar with Dr. Atkins and Suzanne Summers and all the different diets that might be. And this in and of itself is something that we have to look at in terms of what are we promoting as parents for our children. And before we come and we try and figure out how to fix our kids and fix our kids' attitudes, we have to look at what it is that we're doing as parents and how are we structuring our day and how do we structure our self-evaluation about ourselves and how do we integrate the cultural messages and society's messages and family messages into how we parent our children and how we run our lives. And if we're getting up in the morning and running to the gym and starving ourselves and wearing the latest designer clothing and falling for certain peer pressures in the neighborhood and getting the car that everybody says you have to get even if you can't afford it or whatever the issues might be, and then we can't sit there and then look at our children and say, you know, why are my kids falling for X, Y, and Z when your lifestyle really models what you fear your children are negatively getting exposed to. So one very important thing, like we said, is to promote the uniqueness of your one child. Each individual child that you have must have something different from the other ones. If you pick that out for your child, that's something that they can hold on to, that it's very real, and that doesn't necessarily have anything to do with messages about society, about the culture, or what other people might say. And we have to have an awareness of the peer pressure that's out there in the world. The peer pressure is really severe. I think that's why they asked me to speak on this topic, more so than recognizing possible triggers of what might promote some sort of eating disorder. Eating disorders are very prevalent in our society, but more so are people that are feeling badly about themselves, that don't have healthy self-esteem, that compare themselves consistently to people in the world and come up short constantly. If you're constantly hearing your kids talk about negatively putting down themselves, it's important that we look at how we phrase and we talk about other people. Are we constantly complimenting other people that are looking good, looking pretty, looking handsome, tall? We have to understand there's a certain factor of genetics that get played. Like, you know, if some kids are short, girls or boys, you know, praising everybody that's tall is not going to be helpful because that child is short. And if a person is short in sports, especially for boys, that can be a very big problem. And pointing that out to the child or praising other people that are so athletically inclined or very tall can really be a negative hamper for them and not allow them to really express themselves in a way that would be really appropriate. We have to look at the dress styles of today. The dress styles are really outlandish and out there. You know, if you look at the way teens dress, I know that they asked me to speak about this specifically. I don't know if it's because this community suffers more, but I know I see a lot of teenagers in my practice, and I certainly can't keep up with the trends of what seems to be in. Now seems to be maternity for girls, and the boys seem to be like they just walked out of sleeping in their pajamas. So we have to look at what are the trends, and we can't be too judgmental. Before we start commenting on it, you have to really look around and become educated. What is out there for children? What is considered normal? You know, is it normal for your kids to express themselves in that way because that's what everybody else does? And then I would say that would be a normal expression and actually something that's healthy, but then trying on different styles and trying on different trends, and in a process of their development, that's not a negative thing unless they become obsessed with something that might be considered negative or something that's associated with more negative cliques or group of people, and then you want to be aware of that so that you can address that with the kids. We want to talk to our kids about their own issues, not our own issues. We don't want to over-identify with our children with issues that they might be having that might be similar to issues that we're having, that we're experiencing. So everybody, especially if you're a two-parent family, a mother and a father, each of you have a host of issues and complications that make things difficult for you in your development and in your life. And if you're trying to make sure that each of your children are avoiding the things that your lifelong work is, you're going to get sidetracked on what that child needs from you and the attention that they need from you about what they need to develop. You know, teenagers are really developing skills to becoming healthy adults. And the best thing that we can do is allow them to practice every sort of skill possible. So something might seem negative or something might feel inappropriate, But really, if they can practice those skills with each other instead of us feeling threatened by it, it's really a healthy thing. We see that not just culturally, not just in terms of dress and influence, but even religiously. If children want to try on, I always say try on a different kippah for size, or try on a different shul that their parents are not going to, or going through different stages, the healthier way to look at it is look at our children trying on different things, not to confront them and make them feel self-conscious about what they're doing, and express to them it's wonderful that you want to try on a different way of doing things to understand what you feel comfortable with. And the less threatened you feel as parents by the movements that your children make, the more comfortable and confident your children will be in ultimately following in a similar footsteps that you do as well. People always comment that I have different children and each of them are so different in their own way, and I feel always very proud. Although they all seem to be following me in some similar direction, yet each one are very independent and very unique. In fact, I have different girls that are applying to seminary in Israel, and two of them went to two different places, and my third daughter decided she wants to go to a third place simply because she doesn't want to go to the two places that her sisters went to. And I thought that was wonderful. I said, that's great. That's an expression that you want to try on something different. You want to make sure that you are an individual, you're independent, and you're unique, and you're different in your own way. We can't feel threatened by our children's desires to try on something that might be a little bit different than what we're used to or than what we feel comfortable with at that moment. And if we see it as a process, I said before in the last session, but it's very important, especially for teenagers, more so than any other age, that this is a process of practice. And if we don't become threatened by a specific practice that they do, we can allow them the ability to be flexible and try different things, ultimately, hopefully, following in the footsteps or in the direction that you want them to, without making them feel that they have to. And allowing them that ability to do that and that freedom is very important. We want to talk to them about how a healthy image makes one more attractive to another. In today's day and age, everybody talks about how being thin and how being beautiful and well-dressed and wealthy and certainly on diets, like even if you're slim, you have to be on some kind of diet, you have to be doing something. All these things are what makes people attractive to each other. And I think we have to talk about as parents that being a healthy person, being a healthy individual, and is much more important and much more attractive to each other in terms of friendships, in terms of their future. And the more we talk about that and the more we hear ourselves speak like that, the more that we might start to believe it, and the more that, again, that might rub off on them. Because the modeling that we do and the way we speak to each other and the way we speak to our friends is certainly what's most indicative of how our children are going to foster their development and become adults. We want to understand genetics and understand the limitations of genetics. Some kids are much more predisposed towards gaining weight. Some kids are much more predisposed towards sports or athletics or working out or activity. And it's important to understand what their genetic predisposition are and what the limitations are of what you can expect from your kids. Physical activity, I do want to say, is very important for teenagers. I think it's a must that instead of focusing on what you can stop eating or how to affect your diet in terms of food, if we talk about exercise or sports or some sort of physical, which I don't know, in the religious community it seems to be very difficult, maybe with the long hours of school, both for girls and boys, but it is difficult. But increasing physical activity is always a much more healthier way of looking at our future than limiting our food intake and going on fad diets. When I was doing research for tonight on body image, I kept looking at so many statements coming about how diets are terrible. Every diet, no matter what diet starts, is very, very rarely a diet for life, something that people keep for the rest of their lives. Whereas if you have an increase of physical activity and you start becoming more healthy and working out, it affects your diet, it affects trying to eat healthier, and it also enables you to have some sort of consistent, healthier future. So that would be a much healthier way to go with kids. And if you're going to put certain kids on diets, or if you're going to be on a certain diet, so then you want to really do it for the whole family. You don't want to have a the child that doesn't get dessert in the family. And you also want to have exceptions. I always say rules are made so that you can have exceptions to the rules. We make rules so that we can make exceptions to the rules. So you want to have healthy eating and you want to have healthy eating plans, but you want to do that so that you can say, all right, let's all splurge on an unhealthy dessert. And the awareness of knowing what's healthy and what's not healthy is more important for children growing up than over-identifying with fads and certain diets. We want to focus on our kids' personalities. We want to focus on their personal talents. As parents, we don't want to pick up necessarily everything physically about the kids. We don't realize how quickly we fall into that mode. If you listen to yourself in one evening, you can comment so many times on a kid's physical attributes or what they're doing or what somebody else does. And we want to specifically, intentionally work on pointing out personality traits and character traits in terms of promoting that kind of communication between each other to hope that this will affect change in school. Somebody had come over to me in between sessions and asked me a question about, like, I seem to be doing everything that you said with my child, and I don't know, she still goes to school and she doesn't listen. It's not like she comes back and she says, you know, thank you for all that great advice, Ma. I worked that out with my friends and everything's great now. And I said to her, and it's important here to know also, that as parents we try to model certain things, but rarely do the children come back and say, you know, thanks for that advice, or I really, the things we spoke about the other day, I really used in school with my friends, or it really helped me. What we have as an indicator is how healthy they are and how they're functioning and how they're able to cope better with their home, with their school. And the indicator of that is exactly what a mental health professional will look at when they're trying to decide if there's a problem or not, is how they're functioning. So if you are very concerned about your child, but your child is functioning well in school and has friends and does relatively well at home with realistic expectations, you most likely don't have such a problem. You might want your child to behave perfectly or differently, but the indicator is if the child is functioning in a relatively normal environment, having friends, doing well at school, not necessarily perfect, but holding their own, they're doing what they're supposed to be doing. And we're supposed to be just talking to them, having the communication open between parents and kids, and not necessarily getting feedback from our kids about how wonderful parents were doing and how they've used all our wonderful insights to help them become healthier adults. Certainly not as teenagers. Far more healthy would be, oh, I can't stand this stupid talk that you're telling me already. I don't want to hear this again. What do you know? You're from another generation. You're so... That's far more normal, so long as they're really reacting and being healthy children and in school and doing what they're supposed to be doing as kids. Is there any questions so far? You can't control her.
Yeah.
So you're saying, what if a child has, like, their own fashion and you can't control them?
No, you can't. And they see it at school. I mean, it's really something very important at school. And for the popular girls, that's what they wear, that's what they have.
So you're saying that it's something that they want to do because other people in school do, but it's at home it's not, and there's no, is there a code of dress in school?
No.
No, or a code of... Nothing. They can do whatever they want.
Yeah, they can do whatever they want. That's why sometimes I'm thinking to suggest that maybe there should be uniform at school.
Right.
Then we won't find ourselves in such
a... So what is your question? How can you as a parent affect change aside from prayers? You know, it's very hard because these teenagers, this age is one where that's considered normal, to try and look around and see what's in style. And in some ways, you want your child to try to be like everybody else. There's something very strong in trying to be like everybody else, not just becoming unique. You don't want your child to go and become so independent at this stage. They're supposed to understand how to conform and how to be like everybody else. But when everybody else is doing something that seems not fine or not nice, it's upsetting. And if the school is working with some sort of code or dress code, not necessarily uniform, I almost prefer a dress code because it allows a child to have some sort of independence and uniqueness, yet also conform in some way. But it's a difficult thing. I would say probably through incentives. You know, when a child wants to dress a certain way, it's very hard to get in the way of doing that unless you can work together with some sort of incentive to have them dress appropriately, and then they'll, you know, you'll get them something that they want. But for them to own understanding what would be appropriate or what is fine, when they really just want to be accepted or be cool or make a certain statement at school, you want to understand what it is about them that they want to, why they want to dress that way. And it might just be because they want to be more socially acceptable in that environment. So you have to understand a little bit of what's the motivation. If the motivation is to be different and to get kicked out, we have more of a problem, which some kids do.
Yeah, but for me, one of the reasons that my kids come to private school, Jewish school, is not to be in this competition of flow, while in private or in public school,
well, you know, the kids go through the same stages whether in public school or private school. So it really, you might be able to work a little bit more closely with somebody in private school, so you might have a little bit more input from the school. But I think that children are going to go through the same stages and the same. I don't know that it would make a difference if you would move children to another school. They would probably suffer from the same challenges that they have. Most important is looking under what's the underlying investment that your child has in being the way that they are. In general, that's a question that I ask a lot. What investment does your child have in doing what they're doing for you? And if you can try and understand what that is, why are they so invested in dressing that way? Is it just to make you crazy? I mean, sometimes that's the answer. You know, they really see it makes you crazy so that they have more investment in dressing a certain way or acting a certain way or being friends with certain people or doing certain things. And it's not necessarily who they are, but it's what that reaction from you or from their friends give them. And if that's what you could talk to them, not the concrete thing that they're doing, because that they become very defensive and they don't want to hear from you, but what's the underlying investment that that child has in doing that to you, and then talk to them about that. Like, why do you feel this need? And not be so confrontational. Because if you're going to be confrontational, they're just not going to talk to you, or they're going to start yelling at you. So that never helps. Just a little bit to focus a little bit about understanding the influences of today. You know, the messages that we get today from our society about dieting and the films and the ads, and for both girls and boys, it's very strong. Whether you have a television involved in your life or whether you don't, whether the children see movies or not, whether they're exposed to the internet, whether they're on the internet, the family messages also have full gamut of exposure from everybody around them. These things are very, very strong, and we can't minimize them and minimize their effects on our children because they're very real. We have to understand that this defines sometimes for the children what pretty means, what popular means, what being in means. And if it doesn't for them, if their friends are exposed to these things, it's very dangerous. So no matter how many limitations you have in your home and trying to make sure that the influences are as minimal as possible, because they're exposed to other friends, they don't even have to have a television to have been influenced by models and TV ads, etc., and sports figures. And boys today as well have, the masculinity has changed so much over time. You know, boys today are expected to be masculine and very much in shape, yet the cultural values have brought up all their dressing to be much more in style. They have to have, the fitted sweaters now and colors, and so the boys even have to adjust and become macho and muscular and wonderful at sports and know what's going on out there, as well as also having themselves look slim and trim and fit, and have a lot of pressure as well from the outside society and culture. And even our culture, our religious culture, has a certain expectation. You know, when girls become a little bit older, they have to be slim. If they're overweight, they have to lose weight so that they can find the right guy to get married. And there's so much pressure that we hear and we talk about, and people are saying, and guys as well, they have to be smart. They have to, you know, not only know how to play well in sports, but they have to also know how to learn well in school, and they have to also have some sort of future in this plan. And there's a lot of pressure that we put on our children, and that pressure and that desire to do everything perfectly, because as Jewish parents, we have this pressure that it's not just enough to be okay, but we have to be perfect and wonderful. Our kids assume a lot of that pressure, and we have to be careful and watch our children to make sure that they're not negatively affected by the pressures that we give them, and that we see them as realistic and have our expectations of them more realistic. Because our pressures can really negatively affect the way they see themselves and how they put themselves out there. One of the things that we look for red flagging eating disorders, by the way, is perfectionism and controlling. You know, when you're a real perfectionist, if you want everything done a certain way, to the nth degree, it can become a really big problem in terms of your functioning well, because nobody's perfect. So obviously there's going to be problems. And by trying to control your world and trying to do something in a way that you can understand life, well, people start to control their eating. They start to say, okay, well, I can't control my whole life, but I can control what I have for breakfast, or I can control that I'm not going to have any carbs. And then by having that sense of control, they have a full sense of control that they have control in their whole life. And sometimes this can start from there. And many teenagers that I see don't necessarily have full-blown eating disorders, but they have components of an eating disorder, by whereas kids are feeling a lack of control in their life, and by putting control in their life, they're trying to control their food or how they dress or what they wear. You know, looking at kids, you want to be very careful if you start hearing them say silly things like, you know, they can't eat that or they'll get fat. I mean, no one has gotten fat from a piece of cake. You have to tell a child you're going to eat a piece of cake. The cake has to get processed, broken down, turning into different... A piece of cake is not going to make you fat. And if we all have that attitude, which most of us do, I mean, most of us feel a piece of cake is going to make us fat, and our kids say the same. But if that's the way we talk about all different foods, it could be very unhealthy. I just want to talk about a little bit of a healthy body inventory. I put it at the bottom. So we can look at our kids and see what they're saying, to see if there's some unhealthy things that they're talking about or not. When you hear kids comparing themselves to their friends or to models or to sports jocks or whatever it might be, and they're always coming up short, like they'll say, well, he's like this, but I can't do that, or this one's so perfect, but I'll never be like that. If you hear them constantly putting themselves down, that should be a red flag for you. Kids that constantly wear baggy, concealing clothing, that's also something. I'm not saying necessarily only the style, but if they're constantly, especially girls, covering themselves like in a very baggy way, we want to wonder, like, what is it that they're feeling uncomfortable about with their body? How are they expressing themselves to other people? People that avoid getting changed in other people, appropriately so, obviously, we want to make sure that we see that, you know, if somebody's constantly doing that. When somebody's commenting about admiring somebody else, is it always about how they look? Is that really like, you know, they're so beautiful, this one's so nice? And we want to start questioning our kids, you know, and start questioning the way we compliment other people and what we look for in other people. If they feel comfortable, if they miss school due to a bad haircut or a zit or a pimple, I've seen that with children. To some degree, it's normal. Mostly, if not, if they're missing school because of a test, that's okay. But if they're missing school because they feel funny about the way they look, they start feeling self-conscious, it's giving you a cue that there's some sort of body image issue here, and we want to make sure that it's something that we can address and not something that's going to escalate. Sometimes when small amounts of food might make them feel fat or make them feel full, that's more for girls. When they're frequently critical about their own body parts, when kids are picture shy, when they won't allow any pictures to be taken, sometimes it's an indicator that they're not comfortable with how they look. Especially the perfectionist piece. They start looking at pictures and nothing is perfect. Whoever had a picture that was taken of that was perfect. So it's a very uncomfortable piece and can also give you a little bit of insight. Obviously also skipping meals, that's something that's very a real serious indicator of kids not having those certain issues. Now, overall, when we talk about focusing on people's insides as opposed to their outsides, in a society today where everything is about everybody's outsides and how they look, the most important message is, and I'm sure that kids are always taught in school about character and about values, etc., but it doesn't mean anything if that's not what we talk about at home. And because we fall into the trap of regular society, everybody talks about, you know, the outwards, what's doing, what new home, they're making an addition, they got a new car, this one got a new outfit. If you start listening, everything seems to be about appearances on the outside. Most important is how we as parents talk about things at our Shabbos table, at our dinner table, with our children, about things that are on the insides. If we're not talking about it, then we can't sit and expect our children to feel valued and to feel that their insides matter. And the most prevalent thing, I think, today is that parents continue this, because we can't sit and blame this in the schools. I mean, most of the schools are teaching different subjects. They don't really have time to start talking about the appearances and how people are functioning in society. It's much more prevalent in the home. And I see this when I'm working with children as well. The messages that teenagers get are much more modeled after how their parents are talking, what their parents' desires and dreams are for them, what their ambitions are for them, and is it about the kind of person they are? Is that as valued as, you know, what they're going to do, what they're going to drive, where they're going to live, what they're going to wear, how they're going to look, who they're going to marry, etc.? And we have to look very carefully at the way we do things. And while we're doing that, if we do that, I'm not just trying to put ourselves down in terms of perfecting our own qualities, but in terms of parenting, because often the realizing that as parents, if we don't work on these qualities, it doesn't really pay to come out and go to parenting courses if we're not going to come back and make certain changes on our own. If what we would do is make a change and tell our kids, say, hey, I just went to something about in body image, and what do you feel about, you know, yourself and what you are and what you look like and people around you and life, and get their opinion and talk to them and say, you know, I realize we so often talk about, you know, what people are in life, what they do, what they look like. We never really talk about the importance of the kind of people they are, the kinds of decisions they make, the kind of values they have, the good things that they do for people. And you can say to the kids, you know, I realize we don't really talk much about this, and I'd like to really bring this into our lives a little bit more. What do you think? You'd be very surprised what the kids have to say, and you'd be also very surprised and proud of things that your children are involved in that you don't even know about because it wasn't really valued at home, or maybe they were even embarrassed to bring it up and mention it as a subject, whether it's acts of kindness that they've done or whether it's thoughts that they want to do about changing themselves or changing the world. Teenagers, because they're developing and changing in terms of becoming adults, are also, they have amazing ideas about what they want and how they want to change themselves, change the world, change the shul, change the school, ideas to how to make the school better or whatever it might be. And listening to them and giving them an opportunity to express this is important. And more than important, it's an opportunity to tell our children that the messages that they were consistently giving them without even realizing it are not the most valued and not the most important. Any other questions? No problems with anybody with self-image. Okay, so then what we'll do a little bit is I'm going to talk to you about specific tips for children and parents and health professionals that we do in order to work with kids that do suffer from problems with their specific images. What we do a little bit is we tell kids, especially children or adolescents, to look in the mirror and focus on some positive features, not the negative ones. As parents, if you try this, it's very uncomfortable. If you could look in the mirror and say to yourself what you like about yourself and what you don't like about yourself, it's something, an opportunity that you can give your children to be able to express certain things about themselves and their personal body image that might be uncomfortable. You also want to say something, you could try it yourself, saying something to your friends about how nice they look, and not necessarily in terms of their dress, but something that's a little bit more meaningful. What we're trying to show ourselves is how unnatural it is, because of all the influences in today's day and world, that we have succumbed to all the physical nuances and understanding of what society thinks is important, more so for ourselves, and our children are mimicking that sort of environment. And when people come to me with questions about their kids, about how to handle, you know, children that are out of control or that are suffering from not really understanding how to function with their teens, with their friends, we always look to see how are the parents handling their friends, and how would they handle discussing this with each other and making a difference in their own social relationships. And I think it's important for children that are suffering to be able to really address with the kids how to define what it is that's wrong with themselves and what they're not comfortable with. A few women came over to me before this session and told me that they're working in the community with a lot of children that have eating disorders. And she said to me, not all of them, again, are suffering from full-blown eating disorders, but they're suffering from body image disorders, meaning that they really don't see themselves as who they are. And as parents, you can look at your children and say, you know, you're fine, you're developing. We have to understand, as teenagers, kids do develop. One of the top things that I wrote was understanding puberty for girls and boys and understanding the effect of changes. I mean, kids in these years are supposed to really go up and down in their weight. Girls are supposed to gain weight at 13, 14, and 15 to accommodate their growth and then slim down. And parents, when they start seeing, especially with the girls, even more so with the boys, but the boys as well, girls starting to gain weight, they start to panic. They start to get very nervous and start to put the girls on diets. And really, it's very unhealthy not to allow your children to develop and go through these stages, which is a very natural and normal stage that kids must have. And you have to speak to your kids about it. You know, you're going to be going through puberty, and your body's going to change, and your friends' bodies are going to change. And you can talk about your old friends, or how you were as a kid, and maybe you went through a time where you were really, really skinny, and now you're not, or you were very, very heavy, and now you're slim, or whatever it might be. But kids have to understand the norms, and parents more so have to be able to accept those norms as being healthy and being very important and positive. And not over-identifying with our kids and getting overly nervous when we had certain situations by ourselves when we were younger, especially if we felt uncomfortable with our own body image and we felt that that was something that was negative in terms of our development and in terms of understanding what was normal. We want to try and avoid making negative statements about food or weight or body size and shape, and try to allow your kids to make their own decisions about food, making sure, of course, that there are plenty of healthy and nutritious snacks available, but to involve your children in these decisions and compliment your kids on their efforts, their talents, their accomplishments, and their personal values. Try to restrict television viewing. You know, if television is something that's a part of your home, then try and watch with your children and then be able to comment and discuss the media images that you see. You know, I always think it's important to talk to kids. We always say, like, how things are changed. You know, like, you could take a model and they don't like her nose and they could switch her nose, especially today with the internet. And, you know, according to me, there's no perfect model that's out there. They're all enhanced by some sort of, even the photography, you know, it's all so not real. And talk to your kids about how those images are really distorted and it's really not fair. You know, the internet today, the computers today, the things that they can do today on the computers are really amazing. And if the kids understand that it's not really showing what's real and what's out there, that they see that things are not necessarily what they always seem to be. So it's important to restrict the viewing and the insight, but if your kids do succumb to that, to talk to them about it, to view it with them. You want to encourage your school to enact policies that are against, you know, harassment and teasing and diets and things like that. I once went into a school and they had a whole grade doing different diets. And I just thought that was terrible. And I was speaking about eating disorders. And here they had, you know, really lists of all the different crazy diets, cabbage soup diets and skinny diets. And how you go on the internet, you can see there's 5,000 different diets. And the kids were all having different diets and bringing them in. It's like how to lose quick 5 pounds. And this was in the 10th grade class. And it was really very frightening. But most important is that we want to keep the communication lines with our kids open so that they can talk to us about themselves, and that if you have any concerns or hesitations about them, that you're able to understand what the red flags are so that you can really jump in there and try and make a difference as early as possible. Any other questions? Yeah.
What if you don't see the red flags? With girls, you can see red flags because they say, oh, look, I'm fat, or look at my legs. But boys, they don't show that. So how do you, and they're not going to talk to you, even if you approach them. You know, you want to talk to me about something, no, I'm fine. But really, they might have something because they're going through puberty that maybe there's something they don't understand, but they don't know who to talk to. So how do you get them? I find that the boys are harder than the girls.
No, I think you're right. Boys are definitely harder, especially because boys, girls are communicators, and boys, you know, they tease and they fight and they... And that's the way they deal with things. But if you're questioning that there's a problem, again, you're looking at, is there a problem in their regular development? Is there, he doesn't want to go play, he doesn't play any sports, or he's not in school. Like, why would you even think that there might be a red flag? And then once there is a red flag, you might want to reach him in a way that somebody can speak to him, whether it's a teacher, whether it's somebody else. You know, most teenagers really don't want to be confronted by their parents about anything. And it's not because we don't have a good relationship. Sometimes having a good relationship with your child is knowing enough how to communicate and who to get them to communicate with. So if you do have a feeling that maybe there is some sort of red flag, if your child is doing well in school, has friends, is doing everything that he's supposed to be doing, you don't have to look at them and say, how am I supposed to know if there's a problem? We're not looking for problems. We're addressing problems when there's some sort of limitations in their regular development coming to us. And if all of a sudden a problem develops and you had no way of knowing it, well, then you're just a normal parent that, you know, didn't catch something that was going. We're not looking at each of our children to say, what problem are they suffering from and how can we help them? We have to allow them to just live and function as regular kids. And sometimes things hit kids and there's a turnaround that you could never have figured out. They say that hindsight's always 20/20 when you look back, but not necessarily are you meant to see things as they go along, and it's much healthier to see your kids as healthy and developing slowly through life as opposed to looking and seeing what you can identify as a problem. I always have certain parents that call me just on the telephone to run things by me to see if they're a problem. And every year, the child has some sort of disorder. The next disorder, there's another disorder. They're like, they have features of that disorder. And not necessarily a healthy way to go about it, but if your child is functioning normally, you don't have to look for the red flags. But if something comes up, whatever that might be, then you want an opportunity to check all the other areas in that child's life. So if all of a sudden they don't want to go to, you know, partake in a certain class that they always did, and you're not really sure what's going on, so then you want to start figuring out why else, what else might not be going right with that child. Anybody else? I think that's a great question. What you're asking is, when you have a child that's suffering from something like that's obvious, they're very short, they're petite, they're very tall, they're very heavy, whatever the issue might be, how to help them and how to navigate their future with people that could be insensitive. And it's a great question. The problem is, no matter how perfect your parenting is, people out there are who they are. They haven't necessarily gone to parenting classes, they're not necessarily extra sensitive. And your child is who we're worried about. Your child has to function in a world full of people like that. So more important than making sure people are sensitive to your child is making sure your child understands that adults can sometimes be insensitive and they don't mean it. Because I think to function better as she gets older and even at that young age, even if she's 6 or 7 or 8 or, you know, whatever age they are, it's hard to understand. But giving your child coping skills is going to be much healthier than trying to figure out a way to change the world. I mean, we're trying to, one parent at a time, and hopefully, you know, that helps and that improves. But for your own child and for their sake in general, that's an important message, that when we parent our kids, we want our kids to know that the world is not a very friendly place, and people make judgments, and people put out there different influences that are not necessarily wonderful, and you are wonderful for who you are, and size has nothing to do with strength or anything that you need to do that is of importance. And talk to them about that. So if you identify that your child might have such a problem like that, the best thing that you can do is to talk to your child about that and to make them understand that some people could be mean. I think it's much better for a child that's, let's say, overweight going to school to understand that people might make fun of them and be prepared about how they're going to react and what they're going to say and what they're going to do and how they should deal with their feelings than pretending that everyone's really nice at that school and no one's going to pick on them. I think that we have to understand that that could possibly happen. You know, if a school, just like we look at teenagers and we know that they're going to be influenced in a way that could possibly be negative, so if we can give our children skills to deal with that and understand how they're going to cope with those feelings, they're much better off. So it would be nice if people would be more sensitive, but the reality is the world is a hard place. And you tell her, you know, people might comment that you're younger than you are, but we don't see you that way, and you know you're not that way. And they're just talking about, you know, because you look a little bit smaller, and people grow at different stages, and give her some sort of insight and hear what she's saying. How do you feel when people say that? Sometimes the kids don't even care. Sometimes it just hurts you as a mom to have them picking on something like that. And when you talk to your kids about it, they say, oh, who cares if I'm short? Like, it doesn't even mean anything to them at their age or their stage in life. But we're obviously looking at them across the spectrum, and if this is going to constantly happen, how is my child going to get affected? So giving your kids stronger coping skills would be the way that I would focus on. Just like a few people came over to me also in between and asked me questions about how to deal with problems with their children because their friends were being mean to them or weren't handling things right. I say better focus on your own child and try to fix their friends. Because, you know, how many times do people come in for therapy and say, I'm here not because I need help, but my husband is really difficult, or I'm here because I need to learn how to deal with my child. And I always say, you know, whoever is the one that wants to change is the one that has to be sitting here, because I can't affect change for somebody else. And the same advice if you give your children, you know, you have to deal with this. It hurts me as your parent, and people could be this way. But if you can help them with their coping skills to cope with people that might be hurtful, you'll be strengthening them in the long run.
Yeah, my daughter's overweight. But can obesity, or, because there's so much news about how there's obesity, like the United States has more obesity, you know, children overweight than any other country in the world. Can this have an impact on their behavioral and emotional, you know, can that have effects? You know, is it, it's not healthy. I mean, as far as I'm hearing. And, you know, letting it go, like, I've been coached to love, just understand, you know, just love my child for who she is and who she's not. I'm the jerk. I totally get that I'm the jerk. But I can't see how this is not going to be an unhealthy way of being in the world, you know? And can it affect them, you know, can it affect their hormones emotionally and behaviorally?
I don't know if I'm making sense tonight.
How old is she also?
She's 12.
She's 12. Okay.
And she wears tight clothes.
Right. They don't get it.
And she, you know, and she's developing a role, you know, I don't want to get...
Right, no, I hear you.
And
so you're saying...
And she's wearing tight clothes. I'm saying, why don't you wear something a little bit...
Right. You're worried about your daughter who seems to be obese and that she's going to be putting herself in a negative position for her friends and for her growth and growing up as an adult. And the sad truth is, it's true. Like, we're saying the same thing as you're talking about your daughter who might be a little bit petite. These things are truths. People are not going to be kind about it. And she has to realize that. But something like obesity, although at 12 it might be through development unless you speak to her doctor, to really put them on a healthy diet. I think nutritionists are a wonderful thing to make them aware. Some kids are resistant, and then you want to talk about coping skills. Okay, you're resistant, and this is something you're not ready to do right now, but when you're ready to do it, you know, this might be able to help the way other people perceive you. And people might make fun of you. How are you going to handle that? Again, I like to see things as a full spectrum. Teaching your children, right now you're choosing not to deal with this. You're 12. It's hard. You don't feel like, you know, restraining yourself from eating or changing your diet.
Or physical. I can't even get her to walk.
But what you're telling them is when you do want to, I can help you, and we can help you get control of this aspect of your life. And right now, obviously, you're eating and you're not changing your lifestyle is more important to you than whoever might be making fun of you, so long as it's not you. As a parent, you want to make sure that you're not one of them. But it's not so simple for kids to be able to change their way. But if you say, okay, this is the way you are right now, well, check in with me in 6 months, check in with me in a year, and you're also giving them the belief that they can do it, and they will do it, and maybe not right now. One thing that it reminds me of is I have a reputation of doing very well with teenagers in my practice. And I always tell people that the reason I work well with teens is because I tell them, do you not want to be here? No. All right, so then call me when you want to be here. And then the parents are like, excuse me? Well, of course they don't want to be here. What teenager wants to be here? I say, well, I really can't help them much unless they're going to want to be here for change. And then they take them to three other therapists who try to work with them anyway. And then the kid said, I can't take it anymore. Can we go back to that other woman that heard me and understood that I didn't want to be there? And then they'll come back and I'll say, why are you here? They're making me go anyway. At least you listen to me. You know, I don't really want to be here. How can I get? And I'd say to them, we can do this as quickly and painlessly as possible. So, you know, or we can spread it out. So if, and I believe in them. I say, when you're ready to come back, you call me and we'll work this out. And I think that, excuse me. I think that that's the most important thing is communicating with the kids that we hear them and that this is a process and that after time they can come back and they can make a change. Yeah.
I just want to comment on what the gentleman said up front. I just want to, you know, if you point out what is getting in our cafeteria now, we have a Coke machine,
and
that's
terrible.
And what is being sold in that hot dog machine? Pizza, French fries, machine,
hot
dog. Now, you can teach good habits. I don't happen to have, at the moment, overweight kids. But I do try to teach them good eating habits before morning. Now, what are these kids eating from that machine? They already have a school lunch or a home lunch. They get, you know, they bring snacks to school. So, you know, I think that just
the mixed messages
need to also be clear of, you know, what do we want to teach our children on. I just heard about this machine. I'm very upset about it personally, as a parent of the school.
Right.
Why do we need it here? I mean, I know it's not the topic of this, but we're talking about trying to, you know, positive impact on stuff like this.
Right. No, you're very right. The mixed message. It looks amazing, but totally not healthy. All right. Well, thank you very much.